Doug Hirsch, Scott Anderson, 97.1. What do you got going on this weekend? I know it's not Friday yet, but you got any big plans?
No, not yet. Not yet.
No.
I'd like to play golf, but I haven't started reaching out to my peeps yet.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll find somebody. So I'm heading to Chicago.
I'm going to Chicago.
Yeah, see our list. Yep, see boy. And we were thinking of going to a Cubs game, but found out, Gator, that the U.S. men's national team is playing Germany at Soldier Field Saturday in what I believe is their final tune-up before the World Cup. So I'm going to assume that they're going to take that game somewhat seriously. And I hate the term friendly because it makes it sound like, oh, we're just going to go out there and run around a little bit. You know, I want it to be a real game.
It's friendly.
Yeah. But, so I started looking for tickets for this thing. Okay. And it's way more expensive than going to a Cubs game. I'm like, okay. Everything here about World Cup tickets is that they were overpriced and that the prices are starting to drop. But this isn't the actual World Cup. This is just USA and Germany playing it. Soldier Field, and I'm looking totally on the secondary market, and they're significantly more expensive than just Cubs tickets. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep monitoring, and waiting for the price point to come down, right? Makes sense? Do you agree?
No, that makes sense.
Okay. I found these tickets, Gator, I'm going to show you. First on sale today.
The way in the left.
Yeah, but do you see what it says the tickets are?
It says party deck.
Party deck. And I'm like,
well, what does party deck mean? Does that mean?
Well, what does party deck imply to you?
Party deck implies to me that it's an open area designated for people that have bought tickets for that area and that it's just got a giant bar there and then like, you know, seating along the rail to watch it and then like a bunch of seating areas. Maybe there might be a buffet of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think back to when we were at the Joe, when we used to go to games at the Joe for the Red Wings, and there'd be like the Miller Lite party deck and a party suite. It was that same type of thing. You go up and maybe you get either you pay per drink or drinks come free with the
party deck ticket,
something like that.
So I decided I need to investigate. I want to know, because the listing didn't really say what party deck came, like what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
Kang, what do you think when you see the term you're buying tickets and it's party deck?
It's for people that don't really care about what's going on the field. Interesting. That's what I think. Yeah. I think it's just a lot of boozing, a lot of, you know, laughing, hanging out, back towards, you know, turn towards the action.
Yeah. So I'm investigating because I think, all right, if these tickets are for a party deck and food and drinks are included, I'm getting them for the price they were listed. So I started researching, and maybe somebody who's been to Soldier Field a bunch can tell me a little bit more. Here's the best I can tell. It's a fancy designation for standing room only.
That's it?
Yeah. Oh. And I'm looking at this, and the best I can tell through some Google searches and a Reddit post, it sounds like party deck is just standing room only. And I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that. Especially when they are only $5 cheaper than a seat. Than a seat you can get. What's the point of spending that, like the party deck designation, I think oversells what you're getting. I could be wrong. Maybe somebody who's familiar with Soldier Field and the party deck setup can confirm that, but that feels like a bit of a scam to me. Or
it's good marketing, Doug.
Yeah, well, it's definitely marketing. If that's all it is.
You said what's the location? Do you have the exact location?
Yeah, of Soldier it's Field? It's in an end zone and it's clearly up high.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah,
that's not.
Well,
good.
Well, I mean, a lot of the Miller Lite party deck at the Joe Louis Arena was the highest. It was in the end zone and it was up high and it was a great place to watch a game from. Now, there's a difference between a hockey arena and a football stadium.
Well, yeah,
for sure.
That's what I'm saying.
But
but
there's like no seats. It's like you got to get there, you got to claim your spot, and then you can't move or somebody's going to take your spot.
Sounds like a nightmare.
It doesn't it?
Yeah.
So maybe somebody, if anybody's more familiar with Soldier Field, can tell me that the party deck is anything other than standing around.
You want to go to a friendly?
Yeah, because here's why. I'm not going to get to any World Cup games. And the Cubs are going to play again. And I'll be back in Chicago again. I don't know how many chances I get to see Team USA. That'd be good for the show, right?
No.
All the soccer calls we're going to take over the next few weeks.
All the talk we're going to have. I mean, you do you. What you want to spend. I noticed I said spend. I didn't say waste.
Yep. You did say waste.
You want to spend that kind of money to go watch a friendly game that means nothing? Literally means nothing. In horrible seat situations, because there literally are no seats. In a horrible standing situation.
Yeah.
Where you don't even know if it's like direct access to beverages right there, or do you have to go on the concourse like common folk anyway? At least those people get to go back to a seat.
Mm-hmm.
You would not? Mm. Are you sure your son wants to do that?
So that's been the discussion, is which would we rather do? And he's like, all right, what's the difference in price? Because, you know, he's off scholarship now. So he's concerned with the price difference too. And so we've come up with, we'll just wait for them to drop. But we're not falling for this party deck designation.
Look, not everything on the show has to be about me, okay? But I just thought of a dilemma. Like, if you could have asked this question to me, it would have been a real dilemma.
Which is?
Forked your nose in a dark alley, you have to go to one. Like, the guy who chose not to go to the game in Tampa with free tickets, we're like, you got to go. He's free tickets,
the
right?
Guy, a Tiger fan down in Tampa on Monday, who'd been to Tiger games at Tampa before, had a friend who offered him free tickets, and he said, I just don't want to go to watch this team play. And it was the 10-9 Wild roller coaster game, which would have been probably a fun game to be at, but he turned it down.
So if you had posed this question to me, you have to choose one, that I have to go to a game at Wrigley Field and watch the Cubs play. Or I have to go and sit in this party deck that's really this party deck and watch a friendly, which isn't even real soccer. I mean, it is soccer. Yeah, it's the same, but it's not a real World Cup game. It's just a friendly. Where would I choose on that?
God, what would you choose?
One syllable word.
Well, the only one I could think of is Cubs, is a one syllable word.
It literally might be the only one syllable word.
What would you choose?
I would choose the Cubs.
Really?
Yeah.
You would go to Wrigley Field. You hate Wrigley Field.
Wow, you're a Cubby now, huh?
I would choose the baseball game because I love baseball over that. And apparently I went to Wrigley Field when I was a kid. I don't remember it.
Oh, really?
We lived just outside of Chicago in Arlington Heights, which may or may not be the new home of the Chicago Bears. But moved here to Michigan before I was 5. I think it was 4 years old when we moved here. So, I haven't been back. Would I go? I'd reluctantly. But it's a free ticket.
You would go to the
Cubs? I'd go.
You go to the Cubs game.
I'd choose the Cubs 10 out of 10 times over standing room and a friendly. But that's me. Hey, you spend your money how you like, Doug.
That's right. Duke in Ann Arbor, you're on 97.1. Hi, Duke.
Hey guys, how are you guys doing?
We're good.
Hey, Mr. Karsh. Hope my boy Brendan is doing good. I haven't talked to him in a little bit.
He's doing great. Thank you for asking.
But yeah, I just wanted to call and just like comment on the whole actually I had a question. What is the price difference between the friendly and the actual, like a World Cup game that you were planning on going to?
What is the difference? The price right now is to get in. The cheapest is, I think, for the number of tickets we're looking for, is just over $200. If you're looking for one or two, it's like $180.
Okay, and that's for the friendly.
Yes.
If we're an actual World Cup game, what would it be?
Yeah. Am I understand you're going to a World Cup game?
Yeah. I'm going to the Senegal-France game on the 16th at MetLife. So originally the tickets that I got, I kept my eye on them for a little bit. They were at $1,200 at first, and then they dropped. They dropped, like 5 days later, they dropped to like $900, and then I got them. So I was like, you know, I'm going to just go ahead and get them.
I bet you they're a lot cheaper now, but they're still probably expensive.
I looked the other day, and I regret not waiting a couple more days.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it's still worth it to me. You know, to me, I would have paid $1,000 to go, but it just depends on the person and how much you want to go, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm intrigued just because it's something different, and I'm not going to get a chance to see the U.S. men's national team very often, and with plenty of chances to see the Cubs. But yeah, I mean, I was just looking, two tickets is, I think, for $186 is the cheapest to get in right now for this friendly in Chicago. But if you're looking for like close to the field, you're spending $700-$800. Dan Campbell is speaking to the media right now.
Oh.
And has some injury updates. It's got everybody talking. We will get to that today at 11:17 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1. Coming up today at 11:30, everybody's been talking about what Buster Olney said about the Tigers. We got the actual sound. We'll play it for you today at 11:30. And he gives kind of an outline of teams that he really doesn't think will be in the Scooble market and teams that will be in the Scooble market. Kind of sets a tone for what he thinks the Tigers might get. Here with one of baseball's foremost authorities, Gator, has to say about Tarik Skubal coming up today at 11:30. In the meantime, Dan Campbell speaking right now, head coach of the Detroit Lions. Let's start with the injury updates. Colton Pouncey and a bunch of beat writers are down there. I'm going to read this from Colton Pouncey's Twitter feed. Dan Campbell on his expectations for Kirby Joseph knee this season. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Oh boy.
Then he adds, Colton Pouncey tweets, says they've done everything they can and that they won't know until they get into the thick of training camp. That's a weird response, and I believe him, because I'm going to guess here that it just hasn't responded the way that they've hoped it would respond, but they're not ruling him out.
I think it's what it is remember those reports came out months ago that this was an injury. The first reports were there was an injury that he's going to have to live with.
Yeah,
and it's one of these things. It's a pain tolerance thing. Unless it becomes a debilitating thing where he literally just can't get out there. But if it's a pain tolerance thing, you can only take so much. It's going to have to be monitored throughout the year. Does that mean you practice, you're limited in practice all week, but you're good enough to play in the game? How many snaps are you able to give your team? It's so bad. This is awful because Kirby Joseph is a really good young player.
A playmaker.
Really exciting
secondary
player.
Was all pro.
And you hope he can go full go here, but if he can't, you know, this is why going into the draft, I was looking at safety. And you and I both thought this is a deep draft with safeties. You can go deep into rounds and still find somebody. And the Lions chose not to. They chose not to go that route in the draft. Now in free agency.
They did. Yeah, they went out and they got Chuck Clark, who's an interesting player. Yeah. They got Christian Izian, who could play there.
Yeah, he's nickelback. I guess he can play anywhere.
They can play him at safety. So, I mean, we'll see how it shakes out.
Well, the problem is it's not just Kirby Joseph, because you're also dealing with Brian Branch and not knowing when he's going to come back.
But, you know, you get to a point with a player that in your own mind you go, I'm just not counting on him anymore. And this is like... I kind of feel like I'm getting there with Kirby Joseph. Like if he comes back,
it'd be awesome.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
But I'm almost to the point where they need to start looking for a full-time replacement. Now that's probably not going to happen before this season. They're probably going to have to try and make it through this season with some of these veterans that are back there that they hope, you know, Thomas Harper did some good things for them in the past. And so we'll see, but can you get away in the NFL without having elite safeties, which is what they had. They had an elite pair of young safeties, and they were both struck down by injuries. And it sucks.
I mean, I think you can. I mean, it's obviously you'd love to have great players at every position, but honestly, if I had to choose in the secondary, it would be the safeties, because they're kind of like safety nets. You know, it's right in their name. Just like, don't let the big play happen over the top, right?
Yep.
The best ones make plays, they intercept the ball, change, you know, game-changing momentums, plays, type like that. The ones that can get up to the to the line of scrimmage, like Brian Branch, stop the run. Those are like the elite Pro Bowl type safeties. Now, if you don't have those, then you just need guys to just help erase mistakes that do, like, don't let big plays turn into touchdowns, you know, like 15, 20 yard plays. That's where you have to be there. You have to make the tackle. This sucks because I think that's such a raw and honest answer by Dan Campbell is, I don't know. I honestly don't know. He hasn't played since week 6 of last year. Remember, it was a week-to-week thing, and then it became a...
Yep.
Then they shut him down, and then it's like... And he hasn't done any football activities since then. Like,
yeah,
real football activity.
This update doesn't sound particularly promising.
No,
though.
But like I said, I mean, maybe you can get away with it. It's not ideal, but they definitely need some NFL-type players back there. You can't just fill in with anybody.
Other injury news, and this ain't great either. Dan Campbell said the rookie wide receiver Kendrick Law, the little wide receiver out of Kentucky, tore his ACL in practice on Tuesday.
Oh, no. That sucks.
Yeah, I don't know what he was going to be on this team other than vying for third receiver reps. But,
well, could have been a special teams guy returning kicks.
And they went out and got Greg Dortch for that, but you know what this does?
Well, just,
you know what this just means? We reintroduced Tom Kennedy.
Well, right.
Okay, I mean, Tom Kennedy just is always there.
Look, I don't know what Law would have done for the Lions this year, but I just feel bad for the person.
Sure.
I mean, you get drafted, you're all excited, you're going through your first experiences as a professional player, you've got your contract done, you're going to OTAs, you're not in pads, and you tear your ACL and you're not in pads. Mm-hmm. There's no contact, and I feel terrible for him.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Here's another one from Colton Pouncey, and I love this. This is kind of spicy Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's reaction to the Rams trading for Myles Garrett.
Yeah.
Good for them. They've won it now, right? So
yeah. Well, there goes the season. Yeah. Basically, is what he's saying. Oh, yeah. We thought we had a chance.
Yeah, I guess we'll show up anyway. But like the tenor that Dan Campbell has taken this offseason has been real minimal, from the schedule release to canceling these rookie mini camps, saying they're just basically a waste of time. They just create a bunch of hype and they don't do any good. He's really, I mean, you talk about shutting down hype. He is shutting down hype. I feel like he's bunkering in right now, Dan Campbell.
Yeah, when he says something like that, being sarcastic like that, mm-hmm. it tells me that they're listening to it all, and they're amassing a dossier of doubt for this team. Yep. That they're going to unleash on the team at some point. And say, look, this is what here. Just so you guys know, here's what people are saying, and just to, as you know, that I love to cultivate that chip on the shoulder, a bulletin board material, whatever it is, that's it's going right there. But that's not exactly a great news day for the Lions when you hear that.
It really is.
A rookie wide receiver they drafted in the fifth round with their second pick in the fifth round, that he's out with an ACL. That sucks for him. That we don't have good news on Kirby Joseph. We don't have any news on Kirby Joseph, but it feels like if there's no news, it's bad news, because it's just further going that we don't know. You're operating in a realm of complete,
let's face it,
unknown.
With almost every injury, you kind of know something.
Right.
And to be coming out and saying, we don't know, is that, I mean, there's, I don't know how to interpret that any other way than that sucks. It doesn't sound like it's trending in a great direction.
No, it
but
doesn't.
The door isn't slammed.
No. And, you know, I go back and look at the draft and think, I really wanted them to take a safety at some point, thought for sure they would, and they didn't. And you look in that fourth and fifth round area, and there were some decent players taken there. We'll see how they progress as professionals. But guys like Kamari Ramsey, Zaki Wheatley, Lorenzo Styles Jr., those are three guys in the Big Ten that we saw play. There are some others. Jalon Kilgore from South Carolina was a name that we had brought up before.
Well, we talked about dude from Arizona, whose name escapes me a lot leading up to the draft.
Johnson?
No, there was a... It went high in the draft.
Genesis Smith?
No, the guy went early.
Oh, sorry, Traydon Stokes.
Yes, there you go. completely blanking on his name.
Yeah, they have three safeties.
I know, right?
We're taking him to the NFL draft.
248-539-9797. Okay. So one of the big stories today, Buster Olney reporting on Scooble, got everybody talking because you've heard it in the updates. We'll play it for you, but he had a lot more to say about the Tigers and the trade deadline. We'll get to that today at 11:31, and later at 11:50, the 11 o'clock version of the important cheese questions on this National Cheese Day. It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Talked about the Tigers on the field, coming off a sweep with Tampa, day off today. And then there's the other runway, which is sell, sell, sell. Will there be an everything must go sell? And on top of that, they have what might be one of the more coveted pieces available in years. And Buster Olney created some waves today, and you've heard it, and I'm sure had your own responses with what he had to say on the Just Baseball podcast. And it was the not so fast, my friends, that there is no given that they will be sellers. Everybody has seen the quotes. Here's him saying it. Okay, so in the grand scheme of things, I don't think this means anything. They are in taking up a posture right now of it's too early for us to give up on this season. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to appear to be too eager. I think if you appear to be too eager, you don't make the market any easier for yourself. So telling teams that they're not shopping Scooble or anybody that they're not selling right now, there's nothing wrong with that. Now, he did, of course, paint the picture of, you know, the here we come, so you're saying there's a chance Tigers trying to claw their way out of a 16-game hole under 500. But I don't think this really warrants any particular strong reaction one way or another. There's a lot of nuance with these stories. Everything's not, oh my God, Harris is an idiot, or oh my God, this is great. I think this is him doing exactly what he should do right now. And I think the only mistake he can make right now is appearing to be kind of desperate.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me at all. If I was Scott Harris and some team came calling and said, hey, we want to trade for Scooble, I'd say, okay, well, we're not moving him just yet. You know, we'll keep that in mind that you guys are interested, but he's not even pitched a rehab assignment yet. Although he's expected to perhaps as early as this weekend and might actually return to the Tigers as early as next weekend against Cleveland. But I'm not moving him until I know what we have here, right? Because otherwise you might be selling yourself way short, right? Somebody's trying to get at you. Hey, we'll take the chance on Scooble.
Right.
Because Boris is in their ear telling him, look, he is fantastic. He's ready to go. Trust me. And if that's the case, then the team's going to be like, oh, sure, we'll give it to you for nothing. We'll try to take them off your hands right now. So wait it out. There's no rush into doing this. And same thing with Gleyber Torres. There's no rush in doing it now. I fully expect him to be traded by the trade deadline because I don't think the Tigers are going to be in it. It's great to see that they've won three in a row. And I love how they played these last three games. But it's a long way to go to get back to 500. I mean, there's still how many games below 500 are they now?
13.
That's still 13 games below 500, man. It's a long way, but we'll see where they're at in another 15 games or so. And, you know, by that point, hopefully Scoobal is here and has made a start with the Tigers, but no need to rush into it.
All right, next up, Olney, who, in spite of saying what he said, had a lot to say about Scoobal getting traded. And here he talks about what the Tigers could reasonably get given Scoobal being in the final year of his contract and a pending free agent. Is that enough, Gator? You've said that you've kind of shifted your focus. You want quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. You're fine with them getting one player back.
If it's a stud, go do it. Get the best player I can get out of this. Now, I reserve the right to hear what other packages are, but obviously the Tigers have professional scouts. It's not like some fool sitting in a studio looking at minor league numbers and saying, "Oh, this is a can't miss guy." I don't know. I can look at numbers. I can look at film and watch, you know, highlights of somebody. But obviously, I defer to their knowledge on it. But I feel like for me personally, I want as close to can't miss as I got, because you're dealing with a situation here. It's not once in a lifetime, but this is once every 10 years.
He said
since Tom Seaver and CC Sabathia and all that, this does feel like this is a golden opportunity, even though it's a rental player that you're trading. It's back-to-back Cy Youngs. It's a guy who's in the prime of his career. And the great news is that the procedure that was just done a few weeks ago wasn't a major procedure. So you've got a big chip to cash in on, and I think they have to cash in on it.
Yeah, I'm good with one player, one high quality. And the one thing we have to keep in mind is we look at these prospect lists, the Tigers have their own.
Of course.
And so when we Google search and you bring up a prospect list, I'm going to guess that's not the Tigers list of major league prospects. And I'm going to guess they don't even rank them that way. I'm going to guess they have a bucket of like 35, 40 guys that they think are,
or whatever.
Yeah, these are the guys. And we got to get one of these guys. And if we can get one of these guys, that'd be enough to pull the trigger. All right. So, this is interesting from Buster Olney, because a whole bunch of teams that he said reportedly would be involved just might not be. Here's what Buster said. That leaves a lot of teams, but if he's right about this, it kind of kills my dream of getting a bidding war between the Yankees and Dodgers.
Well, right. But we've brought this up before when it comes to the Yankees. It doesn't sound like the Yankees are even considering giving up their top two prospects, which is, I believe, LaGrange, who's a pitcher, and then Lombard, the other player.
What about the big kid that they've just called
Spencer
up?
Jones, yeah. Who's been up there? I mean, I'm interested because he's just a monster up at the plate. I'd be interested. But again, other players might have better track records than other teams. So I agree with him on the Yankees have a pretty good rotation. I don't know if they need Scoobal. There's a difference between need and want. And when you're talking about giving up blue chip prospect or prospects, then you better have a need. And they don't. And I understand that. And same with the Dodgers. It brings up a great point. The Dodgers don't necessarily need to do anything, but the Dodgers like to do stuff, and they have so many prospects to offer up. that, you know, this could take the pressure. If they added Scooble, it takes the pressure off of, you know, pitching Ohtani every 5 days. Maybe you don't have to do that and you maximize his arm.
I wonder how much of this, if it even plays a factor, because it's something I think about all the time, but I don't know if it's a real thing, and that is simply playing defense. If you are the Dodgers and you see Milwaukee's about to get him, and you just don't want to part with this one guy, do you go, you know what? We secure the National League here if we get this guy.
100%.
And if they get him, we might not get out of the National League.
Which is why the Dodgers think are always in play, because they've got the prospect pool where they can give up and make that FU move to somebody else. So, oh, I heard you were interested. Oh, okay. We just got him. How you like them apples?
Okay, and finally, if those teams aren't going to be involved, who do you think could be involved? Okay, I'm a Padre fan, all right? Since I was a kid, I was a big Tony Gwynn fan. I followed the Padres. I got family out there. The San Diego Padres have had multiple iterations of F them picks, and in baseball, it's F them prospects kind of moves. Multiple times they've done this and have fallen flat on their face every time. And what they did last year to get Mason Miller was gut their system. It is so hard for me to find a trade with San Diego that I would actually like if from a Tiger perspective, because the Padres' best prospect is a catcher. He's in the 50s in the game. Now, unless the Tigers evaluate him as being so good and he moved Dingler to first or move him to first, but he's not like one of the top rated prospects in the game. They got a left-handed pitcher down in Double A whose name escapes me, Schoolcraft maybe. Who's a pretty good prospect. They got a bullpen arm.
Yeah, Cruz Schoolcraft.
Is that what his name is?
They got single A, yeah.
Is he single A? I thought it was Double A. Either way, that's a long way away.
Single A.
Bradley Rodriguez is a 22-year-old bullpen arm who's just debuted for them and looks great, but they're using him. How do you get him to part with a player that they're trying to use to win now? I don't know. I've tried very hard to make this work for San Diego because I agree that they're the kind of team that would do this. I just don't know that you could put together the package that makes it worthwhile from the Tiger perspective. So I'm not stoked about this.
No, I looked at San Diego extensively as well, and they don't have much to offer. I mean, the catcher is their best prospect. He's a really good prospect in baseball, but I'm just not jazzed about getting a catcher from the Tigers because the Tigers have several catchers in their organization that would be just chomping at the bit to be the backup to Dylan Dingler. Dylan Dingler is a gold glove winning catcher who's young enough that you expect him to be here for at least the next 5 years. I'm not looking to find a replacement for Dylan Dingler, so I'm not looking at a catcher. So that kind of rules him out. And then it's just a bunch of meh that the Padres have because they gave everything to get Mason Miller last year. This trade might make sense in 2 years. To see how some of these players develop in San Diego's system to see if, hey, they actually have some good players. But right now, all these guys are at rookie ball or single A, and they're years away from coming here. So San Diego is not a match. Unless San Diego wants to do something crazy and give off players off their actual roster, which I don't think they would. Oh, would they be interested in trading Tatis? They might be because he's done nothing for them this year.
He's struggling.
But he's got a monster contract that I don't want to take that on. You want to take on the rest of his contract?
It's a big, big contract. If he's going to play up to it.
You know, for a guy who's been hitting like 25 home runs a year and nowhere near like the 40 that you thought he was going to hit.
So that's the latest from Buster Olney as it pertains to the Tigers, the trade deadline, and Scooble.
Good news is that it's June 4th. We're still 2 months away from the trade deadline.
Yes.
So there will be multiple teams. I suspect Milwaukee is going to be interested. I suspect that we're going to hear a little bit more interest from the Dodgers coming up. But the first thing that has to happen, Tarek Skubal's got a pitch.
It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. From an unnamed texter, the North Party Deck, which provides stunning views of the Chicago skyline and Lake Michigan, and the Middle Light Party Deck, which is a popular general admission area featuring a bar top seating, private concessions, and a highly social atmosphere. It looks like somebody cut and pasted descriptions of party decks off the Soldier Field website. For people wondering why I read this, I don't know what the party deck is at Soldier Field, and the U.S. men's national team is playing a friendly against Germany, and I'm looking to get tickets. And I was like, ooh, party deck. This could be fun. But I think it's just code for standing room only, to be honest with you. And because I can't find that, like, there's anything party about it other than there's no seats.
Is there anything party about you guys? Anything?
Yeah. And so you're battling for position against a rail. And it'd be one thing if you were battling for position against a rail to stand and it was free beer. And right. Free food, but there's no indication that it's anything other than standing room only.
No, thank you.
Unnamed texter says, usually a party deck in most stadiums means you're close to a bathroom and there's a bar, but it's not all inclusive. It's just faster to get more beers and hit the bathrooms. I wouldn't be bad if there were seating, but of course it probably wouldn't be cheap if there were seating, or cheaper. Doug, the big benefit of the Soldier Field party deck is the private bathrooms and private concessions. But yes, it's standing or high top table only. Yeah, probably pass. I'll probably keep monitoring ticket prices. That's what I'm going to do. Because they have fallen a little bit. But we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. Might end up at the Cubs game. Okay, today is National Cheese Day. And on National Cheese Day, we thought a day as important as this. We can't sort of just hit and run as a topic. So once an hour, we're going to stop what we're doing and answer important cheese questions on this National Cheese Day.
Gator, you ready?
You know, I'm ready. Now with this music, I'm totally ready.
Well, we thought we'd pick some cheesy music for cheesy questions.
Cheesy.
Mission accomplished.
This is like starring Lark Voorhees.
Yep. Generic 90s sitcom.
Yeah.
In walks dad through the front door. Where's annoying neighbor at?
Right. Perfect.
All right. Question. What is something you would order double cheese on? Not just the regular cheese, but you want like double the amount of cheese. Like, hey, I can't get enough of cheese on this.
I mean, pizza is the obvious.
You get double cheese on pizza?
Yeah. Double cheese pepperoni is typically a call. And I usually say like light sauce.
It's cheese bread at that point.
Well, no, it's sauce. It's just lightly sauce. I think too many places oversauced pizza and it's not as good. But and it's got pepperoni on. But yeah, I think pizza is the obvious answer.
For you.
Yeah, for me it is.
So let me ask you a question. Double cheese, because I regularly order a double cheese pizza, but it's two different types of cheeses.
Okay.
So, it's the Mediterranean pizza from Cottage Inn, where it's regular cheese and then feta as well.
So you want? What do you want? Double? Like more of both?
Well, or? I'm just saying, that's, does that count as double cheese?
I was willing to allow it, and then I heard your description. Yeah. I'm like, no, not really. And then nothing against the pizza because I love that type of pizza.
Yep.
Feta on pizza is wildly underrated.
Yep.
But you got to have the regular cheese in there, the mozzarella on there as well, but.
You know what? I mean, when I make a sandwich, I like there to be three Swiss slices together. Does
that count?
That's
a lot of cheese. I think that counts.
Okay.
That goes extra cheese on the sandwich.
Yeah.
And
that,
you know what? The truth is the tip. I'm just biting off Zingerman's idea. When you get a sandwich from Zingerman's, they have like the cheese just stacked and it's really good. So I try to make it at home.
Okay. Kang?
I'm going to go with nachos because you never get enough cheese on nachos. You never do. And remember my theory where you should just, instead of piling it up, we should pile it like...
Like a cookie sheet.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Along, you know, not piling it, but like side by side so we get coverage on all the chips. So I could like double cheese on nachos. There's never enough cheese on nachos.
I don't think there's been a time in the last 15 years and I've gotten a Nacho Bel Grande from Taco Bell and I haven't said with extra cheese. Always.
There's always something at the middle ones in the bottom. They get no love.
You get a nacho from the ballpark. You say, hey, can you spill a little extra cheese?
Yeah, man.
Always.
Come on. So I'm going to ask my second question because you kind of touched on it a little bit, Gator. underrated cheese. So you said feta is underrated?
I think feta is, on pizza, it's wildly underrated, yeah.
What's your underrated cheese besides feta? You got another one?
Oh. Wow. That's something I really got to think of.
It's hard because so many cheeses are properly rated.
I think brie is underrated.
Mm, there you go.
You know, you can have brie, you know, cold when it's not melted, but, you know, slightly melty when you can just take a chip in or a cracker, I should say, and kind of carve out a little bit and when it's just spreadable is great.
So I'll probably come up with a cheese that nobody's ever heard of because, hold on. My mom growing up in Eastern Canada, where every time we go to New Brunswick, we will get this McLaren's Imperial spreadable cheese, which is like a really tangy type of cheese. I don't know how else to describe
it. What color is it?
It's orange.
And so it's kind of like a Windschuler's type?
Yeah, kind of one of those deals. They spread on crackers.
Yeah.
And I totally associate it with New Brunswick. I don't know if it's available. I don't even think it's available in the United States, but thank you, Canada, for McLaren's Imperial.
You know, any kind of spreadable cheese, I think, is kind of underrated. You forget how good it is until you go to, like, somebody's dinner party or you see a charcuterie board or whatever. There's a bunch of crackers, and then they're like, oh, what's it? Spreadable. Okay.
Why don't I do this more?
Why don't we do this more?
Kang, you got one?
Some people hate this cheese. I don't, because I'm going to say it's underrated because so many people hate it. Blue cheese.
Blue cheese.
I like blue cheese.
Yeah, I thought about saying blue cheese because I love blue cheese.
It's very particular.
Right. It is.
People do hate it. So... I'd put blue cheese.
Where do you stand on goat cheese?
Not as big a fan as I am of blue cheese.
What if it's made with real bits of Tom Brady?
Thus, it's goat cheese. Yeah.
Thus, he's all in, right?
Yeah.
That changes things. Why, you a goat cheese fan?
Yeah, I do. I like goat cheese. I like all cheese, man. There's not much cheese I don't like.
Cheese brings us together, man.
Yeah,
that's right. So that should be a platform for our next presidential candidate.
Even Doug likes it.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. We'll do this again next hour, once an hour. Important cheese questions on this National Cheese Day. 248-539-9797. Those Tigers, 3 in a row. We had one syllable answers to what it means. 97.1.